Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. All right, Luke 12. Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of the multitude had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in the inner room shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents, and yet not one of them is forgotten before God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, you are of more value than many sparrows. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man shall confess him before confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who will speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not become anxious about how or what you should speak in your defense or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you? And he said to them, Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, The land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said to his disciples, For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, nor your body as to what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds! And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? If then you cannot do a very little thing, why are you anxious about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? And do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek for his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps alight. And be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master shall find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. And be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. And Peter said, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says to in his heart, My master will be a long time in coming and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, at that hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accordance with his will shall receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. And from everyone who has given, much shall be required, and to whom they entrusted much of him, they will ask all the more. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you, no, but rather division. From now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. And they will be divided father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And he was also saying to the multitudes, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it turns out. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say, it will be a hot day, and it turns out that way. You hypocrites, you know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not analyze this present time? And why do you not even on your own initiative judge what is right? For while you are going with your opponent to appear before the magistrate on your way there, make an effort to settle with him, in order that they may not drag you before the judge, and the judge turn you over to the constable, and the constable throw you into prison. I say to you, you shall not get out there until you have paid the very last cent. Amen. Now, as we've been going through these chapters, I hope you can see that Jesus is getting more serious as he goes along, right? Kind of in the beginning, the parables, the teachings, a little more general, but now he's getting more serious. So there's a few things that I want you to understand. In all of the Bible, you know, and I know we look at Jesus as, you know, obviously the Son of God, but, you know, the loving face of God and all these things. But no one talked more about hell or punishment in all of the Bible than Jesus Christ. You know, when you look through the Gospels, right, Matthew, you know, the Synoptics, and then the John as well, you notice that the person that talks the most about hell, about punishment, you know, about the consequences of evil and these things, it's Jesus, right? He makes it very clear, right, that this is the consequence, you know, of unbelief, of living unrighteously, of living in hypocrisy, you know, and so he brings, you know, that kind of characteristic into the kingdom as well, you know, and so, you know, in a lot of ways, I mean, we have to be very aware of that. I think sometimes we can be disillusioned in some way when we only see Jesus or see, you know, or just get that one picture of, you know, of love and not that there's anything wrong with that because that is the picture, you know, but if we don't get the other side as well, that there are consequences. You know, and especially when we talk about evangelism or witnessing to people, you know, if it's just all grace and all this, right, there really won't be much impetus to actually minister to people around us, right? Because, you know, we have to come face to face with the consequences of what happens, you know, when we don't say anything. You know, when we are quiet and when we don't live this kind of life, or when we're living in hypocrisy, right? I mean, there's punishment that comes, you know, and we need to be very, very aware of that. He comes and I should say this, the reason why everything is getting more serious, because from around chapter 9, Jesus has turned his face towards Jerusalem, and meaning that he actually turned his face toward the cross. You know, there's something happened around, I should have mentioned it before, but there's a shift that occurred in Luke where now he's headed toward the cross, and then he'll go through these teachings, probably another few chapters, and then it's going to be towards his suffering. And so you can see how kind of Luke kind of, you know, puts you know, this book of Luke together like that. And so as he's getting closer and closer to the cross, right, the messages are getting more and more serious. You know, and the words that he uses even are getting stronger and stronger. You know, and he kind of makes asides here and there of the cross. Like he says, you know, there is a baptism that I have to, and how I, you know, he's making an aside, and he's talking about the cross that he's going to have to bear. And so he's kind of moving along that way. So that's kind of his language. You know, he comes in, and he's actually finishing the thought in the first part of chapter 12 of what, well, he was talking about in chapter 11. If you didn't know, and hopefully you do know, that when Luke was writing this, he didn't number this, right? We numbered it, okay? We said, well, this is chapter 12 and verse 3. It just made it easier for us to read and reference, right? But this is just one streaming thought. And in a lot of ways, actually, the Bible translators, the guys that put it together, didn't really do a very good job in separating the chapters, you know? And so some chapters actually run a lot better if you just read it straight through, you know, and there's no break. And so it's kind of one. So he's going along and continuing that thought later on. And then he's beginning to share them. So the new thought comes, and he talks about the sparrows and this whole idea of worrying. Now, I want to talk about this for a little bit. You know, it's come to my attention that so many of us worry so much. You know, worry about so many different things. You know, worry about today, worry about what happened in the past and how it affects today, worried about our future, worried about our future kids that we don't even have. And, you know, I mean, I'm actually, last night, you know, I had a long talk with my wife, and we were really talking about, well, do we really want to have a third kid? And we're going through all the different scenarios and the effects. You know, we don't even have this kid yet, you know. We don't even, you know, but we're going through 20 different situations and scenarios, you know, looking at all different, you know. And for some parts of the world, people say that, well, that's just wise. You know, that's just planning ahead. That's just being long-term, right? No, it's just being a sinner. You know, I mean, there's some of that aspect, right? But it's just being a person that just doesn't trust God, you know. And we use the guise of planning long term and being, you know, responsible for our future and those kind of things. And ultimately, when we really break it down, it's just we just don't trust God. You know, we just don't believe that God's going to take care of us in this way. And so Jesus takes a long time talking about this, you know. And I really want to speak to you in this regard about this aspect of worrying. You know, and I say this not as a person, you know, that's, you know, above it, right? Because, you know, before, and I'll be very honest, before I met Christ, you know, I mean, obviously you guys didn't know me at that time. I was an incredible worrier. You know, I don't consider myself to be a deep person in any way, though I have some, my deep moments once in a while. You know, but there were times where I couldn't sleep because I was worrying about stuff. I mean, at a young age, you know, I remember the first time that I had sleepless nights is when I was a little kid. I must have been like 11 years old. I remember I couldn't sleep, you know, because I didn't want to grow older. You know, I mean, it was just kind of crazy. I just didn't, you know, I like where I was at right now, and I like, you know, having fun and these things. And I didn't want to grow older, you know. And I remember I just couldn't sleep, and it was worrying for me. And I went through my whole junior high school, high school, you know, about mid college days, and I just worried a lot. I worried about all kinds of stuff, you know. And then I met Jesus Christ. You know, and I gave my life to the Lord. And I'd like to say that right then, boom, that was it. No, it wasn't it, right? You know, I still worried. But after a period of time, and I'd say it probably was a period about, probably like a year and a half, you know, and a lot of it was I was actually being introduced to the prophetic ministry. And something happened to me personally, you know, is that when I really understood that God really knows me, you know, and there are a couple of events that happened in my life. And for the first time, because, you know, even when I became a Christian, you know, I mean, I had intimacy with God and these things, but God was still up there and I'm down here. And then when I realized through a course of a few events that God really, really knows me, and not only does he know me, he accepts me just as I am. I think when that happened, you know, I just stopped worrying. It was just the craziest thing. And I look back now, you know, and over the course, you know, I've been a Christian, I don't know, since what, 1992 I got saved, and I would say probably about 95, you know, these things happen. And since then, I just don't worry that much. You know, sure, those thoughts come, you know what I mean? But they just get extinguished like that, because I go back to, well, God's in charge, and God loves me. So that settles it right there. It's done. And I just move on. You know, and it's not like you'll wrestle here and there, because, you know, those thoughts will come. The enemy will always, right? But, you know, 2 Corinthians talks about those lofty things raised against the knowledge of God. Well, those lofty things are not there anymore. You know, and so the words of God can filter through my mind very easily. You know, and Jesus, he comes and he's trying to express to people, because, see, this is a really important message to tell his disciples, right? Because he's got to tell them this, because the next word he's going to tell them, man, I'm going to divide you. I'm going to mess you. You know, he's going to say all these things. So he's got to say, hey, don't worry. God's got your back. Right? These next episodes in your life are not going to be the easiest episodes of your life, but don't worry. God's got your back. God knows you. You know, and I love that word, right? If he can, you know, it says here, if the sparrows, What does he say? And this is you have to understand, this is powerful in their language there. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Right. This actually is the word 2 cents. He's actually using, it's the smallest currency that they could use. It's the smallest coin. It's a specific word. Right. And so Jesus is giving them a picture here. Right. You know, it's like if these five, you know, and the word is asaria. That's the smallest copper coin. If these are 5 cents and then God cares for them, how much more will God care for you? And then he says, and he has numbered the hair on your head. Again, you know, we talked about this before. Now, when he talks about the word numbered, right, he's not talking about quantity, right? The actual word is actually referring to order, okay? And so when we talk about the number of your hair, we're not talking about, you know, you have, you know, 5 billion, you know, hairs on your head or something like that. It's a number. It's not a quantity definition of that word in Greek. It's actually talking about order. In other words, he has numbered them. He knows, you know, which hair, you know, Matt, you know, he's still got some hair left, right? Not for long, but he's still got some, right? And so, sorry, Matt. Don't sit in the front row, man. You know, and so, you know, God knows that, you know, hair number 58, column 6, row 8, you know, on, you know, October 18, 2011 is going to fall out at 6:46 a.m. I mean, that's how precise it is. He has numbered them. It's an order thing, right? It's not a number thing. You know, and he's saying, look, if God knows such inconsequential things, insignificant things like that, how much more does your Lord know you? You know, how much does he know you? And how much does he love you? And, you know, and then he'll finish this thought, you know, in verse 32, and he says, do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. You know, he says, don't worry. Right? Well, I mean, whatever it is, you know, whatever you're spending your emotions and your time and worrying about things and, you know, God's got your back. And the word there, and I'm glad that Jesus used this word, and he says he gladly gives you his kingdom. It's not like, well, okay, I guess he has to, you know, your style. No, he's like, God wants to bless our lives, and he wants to give us good things, and he wants to pour out into our lives, you know. And what's preventing a lot of times from this flow of grace coming into our lives is we're worrying. You know, I want to suggest to you, you know, that worrying is sin, right? It's the mental manifestation of not trusting in God. You know, it's an overflow of our lack of trust in Him. You know, but the simple fact, if God knows you and God loves you, and you know that in your heart, right? I'm not saying that worry is just going to completely come off of you, you know, but because the enemy will throw those things our way, right? I mean, we'll always succumb, you know, at moments of weakness and whatnot, right? But those lofty things are not raised up against the knowledge of God. And it'll just filter through you. And you'll have the filter now, you know, of the love, the care, the knowledge of God over our lives. Amen? You know, I think this is a really important topic. And actually, I was reading this, and I was thinking, you know what? I don't think I've ever preached a message on worrying before, well, at least not here in Hong Kong. You know, and I thought, man, yeah, I know a lot of our people really struggle with this thing. You know, just constantly ruminating over ideas and these things and you know, wasting valuable time and energy. Because I remember when I was little, man, you know, as a young man, worrying is just emotionally draining. You know, you're just so drained all the time. And then, so you're not alive in Christ in that way. And so I think the Lord really want to set you free, you know, today and through the course of these weeks and months. And, you know, that the Lord really do something significant. And I think, you know, maybe during the Inner Healing Conference as well, that something's going to happen. And so let's close our eyes. Let's just be very honest and What are you worrying about these days? And the flip side of that would be, what are you not trusting God in these days? Now, it's not like an on and off switch that you can turn on, right? You can't just turn on the switch, oh, okay, I just trust God on this now. God has to do something in your life. And so what we're going to pray today is that God would lead you on a faith journey, an adventure. In some way, that switch comes on. That Jesus Christ would reveal Himself to you. We pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to come over your heart and your mind. That for some of you, that you'd remember God's faithfulness over your life. For some of us, that God would bring us into new adventures that will display the faithfulness of God. You know, when my wife and I were talking last night and, you know, about possibly having a third kid and these things, you know what put everything in order? Is when we just begin to reflect on how good God has been to us. You know, looking back and, you know, two beautiful kids and, you know, a life here in Hong Kong that we couldn't have never imagined before. And say, God, you've been faithful. You never change. There's no reason why you won't continue to be faithful. So a lot of that is just simply remembering sometimes. And so we're just going to pray over you as Matt leads us in a song of worship, that a spirit of wisdom and revelation come. An adventure with God that would break the spirit of worry, spirit of anxiety over us.
To seek your face, ruler of the nations. let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let us see on earth the glory of your Son. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go forth from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face.
Let's pray over that for our whole church, for our whole community, this idea of worry. Let's pray that a spirit of wisdom and revelation would come over you, come over the body of Christ. And there's anyone in our fellowship that does struggle with worrying, that God would reveal himself to them. That God would lead them in some sort of adventure, a faith journey, where his faithfulness would be proven in some way, and that they would be changed. And if you're one that you really struggle with this, pray for yourself in this way. Say, Lord, just reveal yourself to me. Let there be a breakthrough in my heart and my mind over this idea of worrying. And let me know, God, that you do care for me, that you do love me, that the future is in your hand, God. Lord, and so just come and do a work in my life, in my mind, and in my own journey. And then let's pray over just our whole community in this way, that we'd be a community of faith. You know, that worry would just be something that was in the past, in the former life, that the new creation would really abound in us. Let's just cover that right now. Let's now pray. I don't know if you've been watching the news these days, but there was a tremendous earthquake in Haiti, you know, and a lot of people are suffering in these things. And let's just spend some time today and let's just pray for this country and these cities that have been just racked with this earthquake and, you know, and bodies on the streets and whatnot. Let's pray for, you know, the kids that are now orphans. You know, let's pray for the government to really rise up. Let's pray for the world community to send funds and for the Christians to really arise and bring the relief and help that's necessary in this part of the region. And that the churches that have been destroyed would be rebuilt quickly and that God would really in some way be glorified through this tragedy. All right, let's just cover the people of Haiti right now. And lastly, let's pray for our building fund. There is a public tender on February 8th, and we have to make a bid for this place. And so let's just pray the Lord would just do what He wants to do, that God's will be established through this whole process. Pray for the steering committee. Pray for the funds and all the pledges that people have sent in, that God would provide for them to do this. And so just lift this whole thing up to the Lord again. Let's go to our member prayer focus, and let's lift up our Pastor Sam Kim to the Lord and him and his family. Let's just draw them to Jesus. Let's pray for Annie as well. And lastly, let's pray for our sister Hannah, who is in Nepal right now. Let's just lift her up. Lord, we thank you, God, today, Lord. We thank you that you love us with an everlasting love, God. We thank you that you know us, God, better than we know ourselves, Lord. And you want the best for us, God. You gladly, Lord, give us the kingdom. And so, Father, we ask, Lord, that you would just allow us to really lay aside and lay down, Father God, all those things, Lord, that are captivating our minds, God, areas of our heart, Lord, where we're not trusting you in, Father, and that's causing this worry to arise and this anxiety to come over our lives. And we ask, Lord, that we'd be able to surrender those things to you, God, as we fall more in love with you, God, as we have more revelation of your love, as we understand, Lord, how much you care for us, God, and how much you want, Lord, to bless our lives, Lord. And so we pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come over us, Lord, that we'd be able to lay down this worrying before you, God, this anxiety, and live free, faith-filled lives, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for the opportunity today, Lord, to live for Jesus. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow morning.